As Monica and Kat said, I have the wonderful opportunity of bringing this conversation to life with some very amazing folks that have done really great things, not only for the industry, but also around the intersection of technology and creativity. And it's such a, what I would say, full circle moment to be here with all of y'all. And by the way, Wilonius flew from New York from a Meta event this morning to come and talk to us a little bit about what he's learning. Rob and Omas drove in from Los Angeles. They're super committed to bringing this knowledge in this room so that none of us in this community is left behind around what's happening in technology, but more than ever, also what's happening and what's stirring from a creative perspective. Right, so I'm gonna mention a little bit before, I'm gonna give you guys some time to think about your six-word stories because we go and challenge each other here. But who do we have in the room here if you haven't looked them up or seen anything that they've done? They power some of the most amazing creative artists that you've probably heard of, seen, downloaded, patroned, attended their concerts, all of that wonderful stuff. And what I have here is Wilonius Hatcher, who is Time AI 100. If who here has heard the track BBL Drizzy? Yeah, that's your boy right here.
Hey.
Yep. Yeah, it's gonna be fun. And that's your boys right here, who was in the studio birthing that baby.
We'll talk about that.
That's gonna be a fun story. And maybe we'll, you know, do something here while we're here too as well. And we got the, you know, legendary Rob Lewis, who is a Grammy Award winning producer, arranger. If you have ever seen any shows, American Music Awards, the Grammys, I mean, he's the guy behind the beat before the first beat of the artist coming in. Toni Braxton, Babyface, Christina Aguilera, I mean, like on and on, some iconic things. Rob's been kind of the steward of creating that experience and environment, and so very, very lucky to do that. He just did a TED Talk, by the way, which y'all should check out. Super spicy TED Talk, by the way.
Honored.
Around, is AI our friend in this industry? So you should check that out. And then I've got here Mr. Omas, three-time Grammy Award-winning producer, founder of the iconic band Sa-Ra, creative partners, and former secretary treasurer of the Board of Trustees of the Recording Academy. Hey, oh my gosh.
Yes, sir. That's why I wore a white shirt
yeah,
today.
There you go. And he brought a little Grammy gold with us here, so if you see that, you could touch it, but just don't touch right there, because, you know, that's too spicy. And then there's me, the 8-year-old immigrant from the Philippines that wants to create some good trouble, first-generation immigrant who never thought she'd be in tech, but was also somebody who loved creativity and singing. As Monica and Kat said, it's something that we may or may not bring into the room if, you know, the spirit moves us. So, you guys got enough time for your six-word story, or maybe eight?
Go ahead, AJ. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, and this room's awesome because I think we're just gonna talk like family here, like
sure.
We're in the living room with everybody
sure.
And having a ton of fun. So we did that kind of introduction, but why don't you just say something about yourself that maybe we can't Google about you? Ooh.
Sorry, me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What's up, y'all? Do I do my six-word thing now? Or
yeah, do
okay,
it.
So...
I'm counting the words.
My six-word summary, who I am, I'm a stand-up comedian turned AI storyteller. I got into AI because of the writer's strike. I was an aspiring TV writer at the time, did a TV writing fellowship, and then had a bunch of meetings with agents and managers lined up, and then the writer's strike happened. And at the same time, ChatGPT and all these cool tools were popping off, and I kind of pivoted. Started making videos based on like scripts that I wrote, and then the Drake Kendrick historical beef happened, and I made BBL Drizzy because Rick Ross said that Drake got fake abs, and rumor allegedly, then I made that song, and then you know for those that don't know, Metro Boomin took it 2 weeks later, and it went like mega viral, and then 2 weeks after that Drake decided to rap on it, and then so it was like the first AI sample song in music history. So, the main point that I want to emphasize from that whole journey was, you know, tradition. I have been making comedy music for decades, but I wasn't really in the music industry, right? But because of these tools, you know, I was very curious and I decided to lean in. I was able to cause a big impact, you know, in the culture. And that only happened because I decided to not be afraid, but just like, hey, let's see what I can do if I use my creativity with these, you know, amazing tools. So that's kind of my last year in a nutshell, but it's a pleasure to be here, man. And hopefully I can impart some wisdom and we can probably learn some things together today. So.
247, gotcha.
Gotcha.
Rob, let's one up it to 248.
Okay. Music composer and arranger, AI skeptic turned believer.
Ooh, that's yummy.
And my journey with AI began with my brother here, Omas, for 30 years, I've been pen to pad, scoring for orchestras, rehearsing bands, coming up with arrangements for some of the elite in the game. It's such a blessing to be a facilitator of other people's creative vision. And I say that because I know we deal with the thing with AI when it comes from an artistic standpoint, but when you're a facilitator of other people's vision, the idea is to use all the tools at your disposal to be able to do what you need to do more efficiently, to do it better, to come up with the best ideas. Sometimes that lightning does not strike right away. Sometimes you're waiting on the muse to come in the corner and it just doesn't show up. And when I was up against a brick wall in my creative space, I was in my brother's studio and he recommended that I try AI. And I was one of those people that was like, nah, this is for people who ain't never studied it before. I'm a connoisseur of the art, man. Like, I ain't going to, you know, these things are here to write soulless music songs. And I just had this whole view of what I thought AI represented. And along with my time crunch, you know, I tried it. Everything that the artist told me to do, I put into a prompt. And what I got was strong foundational ideas that I didn't have, that I was able to use my mastery and my experience in music to be able to take this idea, polish it, put these things together, and create exactly what I needed to do. It took me from point A to point B quicker, and I was able to be a lot more efficient and with some great ideas. And so that turned me from a skeptic to a believer. I've been having a lot of fun discovering the tools. I talk to ChatGPT every day, like it's my ultimate collaborator.
And these therapist tools, sometimes, right?
Yeah, and these tools get better, and they're getting better and better. It, you know, through AJ and her connectivity, I was able to really legitimately do a TEDx talk on it, which is called Ego, Ethics, and Evolution, The Future of Creativity. And what a lot of people are not analyzing and realizing now is that we are in 2025, we are in the future, and this is just the future of how people create. And so as someone who has created traditionally, I follow the steps of the great Quincy Jones, that when he got older, he relied on the genius of others, and now we have the genius of AI to lean on as well. And that's my journey.
312. I love it.
You said one of them.
You're like 100.
How do you tabulate?
I got math. I'm Asian. I got math. Go ahead.
I'll let you do that joke. I don't be doing jokes like that.
Hey, it wouldn't be San Francisco if, you know.
I'll be doing jokes. I got Grammys and good karma.
Hey. Ooh. Hey. Just drop that mic right there. You're good.
So what I think will develop as this conversation takes place, you guys will see. What you're seeing is kind of a triad of individuals who are all affected by each other in some way, shape, or form. And it kind of goes from Willonius introducing me to AI and then passing that along. And this each one teach one thing is real, right? My dad always told me that up until the day he died. And I never cared how to get to the end result. So this is the one part of me that really appealed about using AI. Because just as somebody who just never cared how to make, like if people say I make high art or whatever, but I just don't care how to get to it, whatever it takes. And that's why AI is perfect for me. Because it's just another one. It's just another element of what does it take? Another element, another pool of of content to pull from. And I always make the Andy Warhol analogy, and I just don't see any difference between Andy Warhol or Damien Hirst or any AI music creator who is using it in a certain kind of way. And that's maybe what we'll delve into today, is how we use it, if that's something that interests any of you guys. But yeah, that's really my story. Like, you know, I never cared about how to get to the end result of great art. And I think that took me pretty, you know, it took me a long way. But with AI, I think came the democratization of sampling in a way that really appealed to me and appeals to a lot of my contemporaries, colleagues, brothers and sisters, friends, and everybody in the game I'm introducing it to. They're really intrigued, maybe scared at first. The skeptic is real. I don't know how skeptical I was. I was more skeptical, I think, just in terms of having been introduced to it at a time when it hadn't developed to a stage where it is even right now. Without understanding where it could go, I probably would have been immediately turned off. But the first incarnations and the first appearances of it in my life were not pleasant, necessarily. It wasn't something that really made me say, oh, my life's about to change. As it began to develop, and as I would talk to Wilonius, he would constantly remind me, hey, there's a new update coming. This is developing faster than you can even imagine. Next month it's gonna be a whole nother style and a whole nother advancement in the way it sounds and the way this thing is reacting to our input, to our data entry. So it's kind of like a video game in a way, which I never really played as a kid, but now I'm like, this is the coolest video game ever. Because I'm making stuff with it. And I'm making stuff I think I'm making timeless music with AI. I believe I am.
I love that.
Utilizing it.
Ooh.
I'm utilizing AI to make timeless music. I believe that.
We were at 481, that's 502.
That's fire.
That's fire.
That's 1,000 words or less.
There you go. I love it. Well, as you can see, our talk here is titled Creative Alchemy, The Rise of the One-Day Record Label. We are not going to talk about a one-day record label. It's very, you know. But I think what we want to talk about is the possibility of what we can do. You all come from very different backgrounds. A stand-up comedian, an arranger producer, somebody who is creating and also an artist and also is responsible for looking at the entire body of work of the music industry and being able to be kind of that tastemaker, right? And say, hey, this is what, you know, is being shaped in the world right now, how people are feeling and what all of that looks like in every category and genre. I know you were all in the studio. Take us back to a year and some change ago and that light bulb moment of when you turned from skeptic to believer. Omos, when you turned into that, you were like, wow, I'm going to Van Gogh the crap out of this. And Wilonius, when you were like, yeah, there's another update coming. Let me show you another prompt.
Will's the first.
Yeah, let's go with, so what was that like? Can you describe that time when you all came in so that we can kind of take people back there and then we're going to take them back to the present day today?
Well, you know, I got introduced to Omos and I was super, super excited just to meet him because of all the main accomplishments that he's had. And I mean, he's kind of had like this, a lot of like the soundtrack to my life. So, you know, I get really passionate and hype about stuff, man. So like anytime I'm learning stuff, I like to just share it, you know, and I'm like, man, y'all gotta check out this. Like when I first started with AI, I used to book out spaces to try to teach people AI. So like how to make books with AI, how to do it, and nobody would show up. Like I book out a little warehouse space and maybe like one or two people, but like nobody cared, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, all right, well, let me just start making things. But like when I was talking to Omos, he was so receptive. So I was like, bro, you can do this. Like, so we just stay, I mean, I don't know how many like credits we blew through, but man, we was just like prompting. And then I was Omos like, let's do it again. And we just kept just prompting and just making like really dynamic music. And I was getting excited because they were so excited about it, you know? So that made me, I'm like, yo, and you can do this and you can do that. And like, you know, I'm really not the type to, I guess, like gatekeep in a sense. And I think that a lot of times, well, the most important thing right now for us is to like have the information, like knowing where you, what these tools do and where to go get them, right? Because like whether you choose to use AI or not, just knowing what they actually do, they can, you know, help your business. They can help, you know, you creatively. But if you're not, if you don't know that you can set up a AI agent to like automate most of the tasks that you would pay, you know, people thousands of dollars for, you know, this can just, you know, this can help, you know, a small individual operate like, you know, a big studio or a Fortune 500 company, you know, in essence. So so I like just giving that information. But, like, we got into the studio and then we just started making the tracks. But I was just, like, I was so blown away just to be just to, in awe of just watching these masters of their craft, like, do their work. You know what I'm saying? And that was the main thing I was trying to stress. I was like, you know, I'm using this. I have a limited knowledge of music because I was making just comedy music. But I was like, man, you guys have been dedicating your life to this craft. And that's the thing about AI. It's like whatever you put your 10,000 hours in, it's going to make that like superhuman. So if you are an expert marketer, it's going to take your marketing to, it's like on steroids. If you've been dedicating your life to like, you know, music, there was prompts or styles that Omos was talking about. Like, I was like, I've never heard this artist before. Like, I couldn't even ChatGPT this artist. I wouldn't even know what to actually look for. You know what I'm saying? So that's, I think, some of the beauty of it. Like, you know, your life is really dictated a lot of times by the questions that you ask yourself and others. And that's very similar to, like, these AI tools. Based on the type of prompt that you put in, that'll determine the output. Like I'm just ending real quick with this, but you know, remember everybody was like talking about like, do you take the dinner with Jay-Z or do you take the $100,000? Y'all remember that? And I say like, look, man, if you aren't going to ask Jay-Z a really good question, like you going to ask Jay-Z like, hey, what is it like to be married to Beyonce? Take the money, like, cause you're going to waste your time and his time. And these tools are just like that. They're your advisor, they're your assistant, they're a mentor, they are your strategic partner. But if you just have to learn the proper way to use these tools, and if you do that, you unlock everything. Like it's phenomenal. So
I just want to highlight one thing that you said there that I think culturally, hip hop culture has been really awesome. It is sharing, open sourcing, and being inspired in a flywheel with each other. You see a beat, you see, you know, a record in a crate, and you're like, oh, we can sample that. There's so much of that that already is innate culturally in the DNA of how this industry works, that is so tech forward, right? Mm-hmm. So I love how you just dropped that, like, hey, I don't gatekeep, but I share it out because it's a launch point to another point of inspiration, which led you to collaborating. Right.
But the benefit of that with AI is if I teach Rob and I teach Omos and I teach you how to use it, you guys are going to come with your own creative way. And then I find out a new way to use it. You know what I'm saying? Because like okay. I can give you, I always say like, everybody can fry chicken, but not everybody can fry chicken. You know what I'm saying? And that's what AI is like. I can give you the same exact prompt. I can give you the prompt that I made BBL Drizzy with. You're not going to get that song. Like, it never really produces the same thing twice. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it doesn't matter if you share. I can tell you exactly how to do everything, but you're going to add your own creativity to it. And then it helps me, you know, if you decide to teach me.
That's right.
Any music creators in the room?
Woo, woo. Okay. Y'all make the world go around.
Any users of, like, Splice? All right, fire. So, I was working with a very notable artist very recently, and we were prompting towards the end of our days together, as I often wait till the end of our days of this serious traditional style creation to inch towards showing somebody a new way. So basically it's like the artist hears a sample that they've never freaking heard before and it's the best sample of their life and they're just like losing it and so happy. And the artists realize that it, because high level artists now know that Splice is going around. So the artist assumed it was Splice. And then when we said it was AI and then the problem with Splice for this particular artist who signed to a major label who has these kinds of things to worry about is that the Splice pack is something that someone else may possess and then use and may have used and will use, and a sound that will be continually regurgitated and not necessarily flipped every time. And AI is not giving you that same thing twice. This really struck a chord when you said that, because it was a real world application that very day. And the artist was so happy. You promise we're not gonna get that sound, that thing again? You promise nobody's ever gonna have that again? So, I mean, that's so awesome to have that built into it. Because at the end of the day, you really gotta just close your eyes, and what does it make you feel like? And we're here talking about tech, and we're talking about music, and I would like to hope that all of us close our eyes and have felt something because of music. Mm-hmm. So you play the Spotify on random, and you may feel different things. If you don't tell somebody that it's AI, and they just listen, they feel stuff. Right. Mm. They emote, they do all the standard, humans do all the standard stuff that they do when they hear music created by real people, when they hear music created by AI people, and the advancements of it, in particular, these the last 3 months, have blurred that line. I was just on a final note. I was with Rob very recently. I'll let him mention names if he'd like to. But we were a very notable Hollywood director. And as he was listening to the AI performance, he was really enjoying it. A vocal performance as well. A vocalist, an AI vocalist, and I could tell he really liked it, and that was like, okay, here's where we're at, and we'll go a little bit deeper into how we use it and how, you know, if we want to, in particular, how I use it. Mm-hmm. But one thing in particular is that AI and people work really well together, just on a very pragmatic, simple A/B level. In music, AI with humans really works really, really well together. And maybe we can touch on that a bit more.
Yeah, and I think that's awesome. And what I want to piggyback on is that two things. One, you know, a lot of people out here have a preconceived notion about the results of AI. They say that it's soulless. And that was a thought that I had. But if you mathematically look at it and you say, well, that which has been trained on human soul, how can the result of it be human, you know, soulless, right? Because it's been trained on the Encyclopedia of Music. Now, we're not here to talk about the ethics of whether or not that is
That's the second panel.
Good or not, but we know about what needs to happen and how fair attribution and all of those things, and I wouldn't be who I am if I didn't say those things, that we need to get it right and everybody needs to be compensated for it and clap, 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 and snap, 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 yep. Right? But the truth of the matter is it's been trained on the best of the best. So when I prompt, I get the best of the best, which leads me to my next point, which is your point of, and if everybody knows how to do it, then you add your own little thing to it and you create that one of one that you're talking about. And the thing is that AI is not devoid of human touch. In fact, the more masterful you are, the more masterful of a result you'll get. If you sit there and you say 1950s big band jazz, it's gonna give you something similar. But if you say, I need the saxophones to be swinging like this. I need the blah, blah, blah. I need it to invoke Harlem Renaissance. It needs to be Harlem in the 50s, you know what I'm saying, blah, blah, blah. You know, and you can start naming clothes. You can say zoot suits. You can start. The more creative you are, the more you're going to fine-tune that result that is yours. And that is creativity as well. And then even from that, Omas has created a whole process that is that we do take AI and we take it as it comes, but then we put us on top of it. So now I'm playing real Rhodes and I'm playing real organ and he's playing percussion and drums and we bring the best of the industry inside to play horns and to do all these things. And in that little bit of space right there, now it starts to turn from just AI to now that human touch. And now it starts to become really, really ours. And now we're building something, and that's the perfect marriage is when human touch and AI meet. that's the point that Omas is making, that you get something that is definitely a one of one.
I just love that, like, touch of humanity. I think in all of the headlines that we hear about AI and tech, and it's taking all of these things, I love that the mindset you all have is actually, it is not taking, we are the ones that are the masters of what that looks like, right? And we are creating the creative alchemy that it takes to give that output. I know we went from a digital, you know, you've gone from the digital prompting. Can you guys give everybody here a little dose of a prompt string that you've created recently so that we can get a little bit of detail around how you might prompt something?
Like, as far as like the structure of like how we make songs?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I start very basic. So I always start with like no more than three prompts.
Okay.
Three words. So if I'm making, I was doing a lot of Motown stuff. I'm doing more R&B stuff now, but I would always start with like the basic thing. Like, so it'd be like Motown. Then I would go to maybe like a particular style, or like to Rob's point, like a year. And then, so it might be like Motown 1973, and then I like to go to like a feeling. So, emotional, passionate, longing, something like that. And then that'll be my starting point. And then I'm notorious to just, I just click create as many times as possible until it actually tells me I can't do it anymore. And then I do it again. And then from there, then I start adding words to it, you know, and trying to get more specific, but always start very basic and then kind of build on it from there.
Yeah. Rob, how about you? What's your prompt style
again,
like?
Again, this is the difference between artist and facilitator, right? Because with an artist like Willonius, he's not necessarily looking for anything in particular at first. At first, he's open to all possibility of what his prompt could deliver. But when I'm facilitating, like I'm producing the music for this award show in Canada, I'm looking for something specific. I'm looking for something that sounds extremely specific. So I have to prompt until I get that specificity. And we were just in the studio, and I sent them a batch of songs for the awards presentation. And they were like, you know, this is cool, but we were thinking a little more, you know, like this. And they gave me a soundbite. We analyzed the soundbite, and I said, this sounds like theme song music. And he said, oh, bro, the theme song to Dynasty, the theme song to Falcon Crest, the theme song to Dallas. And I was like, okay, downloaded those records, put that in ChatGPT, asked ChatGPT to analyze these songs and tell me what makes these songs different. What is the instrumentation and what is the overall view for this? And something that I would have never even put in my prompt, like wealth and opulence. I wouldn't have never said those words in a musical prompt. But because ChatGPT analyzed it, we're talking about AI analyzing a record and telling me what the makeup of that record is, now I can tell it, well, based on this song that you just analyzed, give me a prompt that talks to this. And the prompt is a paragraph, a triumphant, a celebratory a song that is full with opulence and leisure and wealth. It has blaring trombones and trumpets. It has blah, blah, blah. And it'll give me a paragraph of a prompt. And now I'm starting to get more specific into what it is that I'm looking for. And even that's not the end of the process, because there is an A&R part of this whole thing where you have to know good from great, and even great from greater. So you have to, you can't just pick something and be like, that's it. You have to listen and generate, like, you know, like Willonius is saying, generate, and be like, that's perfect. That's exactly what I'm looking for. And if I had to depend on myself to do that, it'd be weeks before I'd be able to deliver that. And so AI helps me to deliver that as a facilitator quicker.
Awesome. Omas?
So I like, one thing that some of the generative AI music apps do is they take the melodic and lyrical information from vocal performances, and that informs the music. See, there's no real formula how it happens. But that in particular is something I noticed really recently. Because, you know, after you get your prompt, then there's a whole world of stemming that can happen. We'll just talk specifically about process. So, like, if you try to prompt instrumentals, you might get whack stuff. You're better off prompting full entire songs, even if you don't like them. It will interpret your lyricism and try to place it rhythmically in things that it anticipates, and it gives you crazy stuff because then it moves the music out of the way to make space for the vocal, and you're getting things, and then it's knowing that you have to have an emphasis on words, and then the music will follow that emphasis. Mm. And then you take the vocal stem out of here. See ya. Mm. And now you're left with a very unusual form or a very cool form that would not have come had you not imparted lyrics and melody. So that's just one thing I'm dealing with a lot more. And it's evolving. Stuff is evolving every day. I do just what these guys do. I prompt emotion. I prompt places. I prompt feelings. Anything from the root chakra to, you know, from all the worlds, from all the realms, you prompt anything. And it's going to give you something. And again, talking about process for me, it really started off as a way. First, it started off because this gentleman told me, just keep hitting the send button, generate button. And I just didn't understand it. And then I understood it. Yeah. Mm. You gotta train your interface, you gotta train your particular handle and user ID. I'm seeing that's playing into it too. Your training going into it, what it's giving you, just like GPT, becoming one with you in many ways. And then after I realized it was great for sampling, for these four bar, talking about process, for like two and four bar forms, I started challenging it to produce entire forms in the styles of my elders and ancestors, at records that I listened to for my leisure and pleasure, right? And it started giving me that kind of stuff. And with that, I was like, okay, now I got a set of chord changes here, talking about process, talking to producers and musicians who do, got a set of chord changes here that I definitely was not thinking about, or maybe would not have channeled at that very moment. And then I said, damn, I know the best musicians on the planet Earth. They're all here. Come over here every day. Rob Lewis. They come over here every day. People are over here every day. You don't just tell people, come over here and let's do some AI.
Right. Right.
Although now, and in 3 months, we'll be able to, right?
Yeah.
But, and like really in 3 months, it's going to be standard. But when this gentleman started my journey, and his journey predates mine, definitely an unusual topic.
Yeah.
Topic. So my prompting style is just all about emotion, and now more so than ever, it's about getting song forms inspired by classic records to be refreshed and updated for a new generation of people, with a new generation of people playing and performing. And I just want to make this parallel to note that if we all haven't been made aware of the doubling in size of the live music portion of the recorded of the music industry, it's live is double the size of the rest of it.
Yeah.
So there's this element of live performance in humanity that we cannot get out of us. It's baked in. Mm. Right. So this is why I think people who are prompting with no input from themselves.
Garbage in, garbage out.
It's not garbage in, garbage out, but when the humans again when the humans get involved, it's without question a human creation.
Yeah.
Right? So at the point where AI gives me something that I would not have thought of to be interpreted as all of this music throughout history that's left behind is left to be then interpreted by people who will perform it live, There are people who are traditionalists that say you shouldn't perform Bach this way, and there are people who perform Bach that way.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And you just got to do it any way you can get to it. I don't care about the end results, but what I do care about are my real human homies who need a challenge, who deserve a challenge, who deserve to learn something. This is where it all comes from. Willonius taught me, you got to teach AI to everybody.
Yeah.
You don't tell somebody you could, at least right now, come over and let's do AI. You show them some things, and you make them wonder why your shit is so dope. How did you get to it? And then you have them perform and demonstrate as a real human would. They perform on top of it along with it. Mm-hmm. And I've had the baddest cats in the world tell me, after hearing something or participating in AI, geez, that was tough, man. Those are some badass changes. I mean, that alone, anyone who's a musician, if you say those are some badass changes, that was a challenge. How did that happen? And then musicians are being challenged by AI, something that we're not talking about enough.
Yeah.
Musicians are being challenged by it. Obviously, I've seen it because cats are like, I wouldn't have thought of those, that density in that chord, or that chord structure. So I prompt for complexity, kind of, really, because the simple shit we got.
Right. Yeah.
I prompt for more. I'm prompting for forms that have not been reached and things that people have forgotten about. I'm prompting yacht rock, but people are thinking about it. But
yacht rock.
I prompt a lot of yacht rock. It makes dope samples later too. Let's not forget.
Yeah.
Let's not forget how many of the dopest rap records are yacht rock samples. Why are we not prompting yacht rock records so we can make? You know, like, so we can keep hip hop alive. Like,
I love that. And I think the one thing I'm taking away too is you can prompt for a prompt as well, right? Yeah. Is okay, I'm prompting this thing. Can you do a prompt in this style, et cetera? We got to land the plane here because there's more amazing conversations that are happening and just super grateful to get into the studio with you all and what you're thinking. I know, Willonius, we wanted to kind of show something in like just last 90 seconds because we want to kind of demonstrate the power of, I mean, when he landed, he was literally editing a video, and he's done a few of those things. And so if we could just show that real quick to everyone on the power of what this looks like.
Okay, yeah.
It'd be really interesting to just kind of show you guys the power of what he's been able to do just
so,
landing.
This first video, it's real short. I made a video based on that new clip song that's out. It's called Ace Trumpets. And then the second video is a McDonald's video that's kind of going viral right now. So I'll play it so you guys can
see. This is culturally inappropriate.
So it's all AI. And this is a response I did to Popeyes because they did some McDonald's. Yeah. So.
Wow.
But I
hey, hey.
We come full circle.
But I just want to say, so like, you know, the music is AI, the visuals are AI, but like anybody could do that, right? Like that took me about less than a day to make, right? Mm-hmm. I just, but these tools are available to everybody. All you gotta, very similar to like Omos and Rob, I'm listening to them now. Like I'm learning from them. Like I'm like, yo, I want to learn, you know, sit down and watch your workflow. But if you just jump in now, like everybody, we're in the AI revolution, right? It's not coming. We're here right now. So like everybody needs to be the same way we talk about politics and sports, and you should be talking about AI every day. You need to find people, you know, if somebody's like, hey, Jordan versus LeBron, like, nah, let's talk about this prompt. And you know what I'm saying? Like we're in a moment in history right now, and everybody really has to like grasp that. And like really take this time serious, because like you can literally change your life and your family's life like right now. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So anyway, that's it.
Thank you all so much. I feel like it is truly the Renaissance.
Thank you,
we
AJ.
Got our Picassos and Degas and our, you know, great Gatsby's, F. Scott Fitzgerald's here. So thank you so much for this panel. They'll be around over the weekend, so please feel free to have some time with these legends here. Thank you so much, and we'll transition over back
thank
to Monica
AJ.
And Kat.
Thank you, AJ.
Good trouble.
Good.